And it's wonderful. God wants to speak to us today, and the way He does that is through His Word. So will you join me in taking hold of your copy of God's Word and turning with me once again to the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we're starting in chapter 2. We've spent several weeks in chapter 1, and we want to look at the first two verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you can see in your worship guide that the title of my message is Passing the Baton, but really the outline in here I'm not going to be using. Whenever I prepare to give my sermon manuscript and outline to my assistant Brenda Turner, I usually do that on Wednesday, and she starts typing it up, and the worship pages are printed usually on Thursday. And it's not unusual for God to start still speaking new things into my life about the scripture I've been meditating on that week. And that happened this past Friday night as I got to looking at verse 2 in particular. I visualized a track and a 4 by 400 meter relay race. Because in verse 2, there are four generations of discipleship described here. And you might not see them readily. I'm going to help you see the four generations of discipleship mentioned here in verse number 2. And I want us to organize our thoughts around a track and a 4 by 400 relay race where each of the four runners carries a baton for one lap. And at the end of his one lap, he or she hands off that baton to the second runner who goes around the track one time. And that's what we're going to see today, passing the baton from one generation to the second one, to the third one, and to the fourth one. So that's the way we'll organize, especially verse number 2. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 28 that we're to make disciples of all people. That's why God has called us, and that's why God has saved us, is so that we would not just keep the things that we have learned about God in the Bible to ourselves, but so that we would share it with other people and make disciples in the process. And what Paul does here is he shows us the process for disciple making. And it is a picture of a track where a relay race is performed and one runner passes the baton to the second runner, and then on and on you go. That's how you got saved. Somebody passed the baton to you who had already been saved, and you're growing in the things of God. You might be in a Sunday school class where someone is still investing and entrusting truth into your life in the hopes that you just won't keep it to yourself, but that you'll pass that baton on to someone else. That's the way Christianity works. You know, we don't want Christianity to become extinct just because all of us in this building and every other Christian just held on to the baton for themselves and never passed it on to someone else. Every one of us are in a race. And God is calling us to not only learn the gospel truth, to learn what the Bible teaches, but then to entrust that and commit that into the life of other people so that they can do the same thing. And that process goes on and on and on. And so we're at the starting line, okay? You've got this image in your mind of a track, four runners waiting to receive the baton after the first runner goes around one lap. And so the Apostle Paul is at the starting line. Jesus Christ placed the baton of truth into Paul's hand in Acts chapter 9. That made Paul an apostle, as he had a encounter with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, like all the other apostles, then invested that truth into other people's lives. And in particular, Paul invested his life and the truth that he had learned about God and the Bible into his trainee Timothy's life. It's very interesting, as the starting gun signals the start of the race, that Paul has been faithfully going around that first lap, but now he is nearing the end of his race. As a matter of fact, we've already mentioned this to you before, but in chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have finished my race. And the truth is, it's not long before Paul is going to be executed. And he's going to be in the presence of God. And he wants to make sure that this baton of truth that Jesus placed into his hand is going to be passed on to a succeeding generation. And so that's why he begins in verse number 1, looking there every eye. It says, as Paul speaks to Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong. This isn't an easy race. This is a tough race. It demands endurance. It demands stick-to-itiveness. And he just wants to tell Timothy, as I am now passing this baton off to you, you're going to have to be strong. It reminds me of how another mentor had passed the baton on to a trainee in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. Of course, we all know who Moses is. Moses wrote most of the Old Testament, just like Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But just as Paul had this trainee named Timothy, Moses had an assistant named Joshua. And just like Paul was about to die, Moses had died by Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. And in light of that, God gave this instruction to Joshua, who had just received the baton of truth from his mentor, Moses, by saying, not once, not twice, but three times, Joshua 1:6, be strong. Joshua 1:7, be strong. Joshua 1:9, be strong. And so I want to tell you today, if you've received that baton, God is saying the same thing to you as Paul said to Timothy. You've got to be strong in the Lord. And notice Paul tells Timothy how he can be strong by looking at the rest of verse number 1. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You're not strong in your own ability. You're not strong in your own power. You're not strong in your own knowledge of things, but you are strong only in the grace of Jesus Christ. This is the error of so many Christians, and this is why so many Christians are stumbling in this process of discipleship, is they're trying to do everything in their own strength and in their own ability and in their own expertise. And you'll be a miserable failure every time if you try to pursue this race for discipleship, this process of discipleship in your own ability and in your own strength. You've got to do it in the strength of the grace of Jesus Christ. That same grace that saved you now sustains you throughout your race as you're carrying on the baton of truth. And then we go on here in verse 2. And we've already seen the first person doing the first leg of this race. It's the Apostle Paul. We see him again as he is now passing the baton to Timothy in verse 2. He says to him, and the things that you, Timothy, my trainee, the things that you have heard from me. In other words, Timothy, I have spent my life and my ministry by investing gospel truth into your life. And now I'm coming to the end of my race. I'm coming to the end of my life in ministry, and Timothy, I am passing the baton on to you. Be faithful, be diligent, be strong as you now begin your leg of that race. And so we've seen the first lap run by the first generation, the Apostle Paul. Now the second lap is being run by Paul's trainee, young Timothy. And Timothy had a struggle. As he pastored the church at Ephesus, he certainly needed to be strong in the Lord. He needed the grace of God to carry on in this pursuit that God had called him to. And so Paul had invested truth into him. And so what is Timothy now to do with that baton? Well, he's nearing the end of the second lap. And we see the third generation of discipleship is now the third leg of the race begins, the third lap of this 4x400-meter relay. It says there, just reading all of it again in its context, the things that you, Timothy, have heard from me among many witnesses. Many people think that reference, many witnesses, means maybe some of the other apostles were there when Paul was training Timothy. We know that John ended up in the church at Ephesus, and so he might have been referring to John. He might have been referring to the mother of Jesus, Mary. Did you know that she also ended up in the church at Ephesus, this troubled church that young Timothy tried to pastor? And so many witnesses certainly would have included at least John, at least Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so Timothy had been instructed by the very best, by the people that had been there. And now he says, okay, it's time for you to pass the baton on to the succeeding generation so the race and the truth and discipleship won't end. So he says, look in the middle of verse 2, commit, or your Bible probably says, entrust these, the things that you've learned from me, the truth that you've learned from me, this baton that I've placed in your hand. Commit these to faithful men. And so now the third lap of the race for discipleship begins. The third leg of this race is now engaged as Timothy now passes the baton. We don't know the names of these men. We just know that Paul designates them in a very interesting way. He calls them faithful men. Faithful men. That word faithful is an interesting word. In the original language of the Bible, it literally means trustworthy. In other words, I'm asking you, Timothy, to use the words he uses here, to entrust this truth, to entrust it and commit it to men and women who are trustworthy, who are faithful, who will be worthy trustees of the baton of truth, of the gospel of hope. But go on here. Don't let it be lost on you that Paul speaks of men in the plural, not in the singular. Do you see that? He says, commit and trust this to faithful men. So important to the process of discipleship. You know, we can have growth by one trainee taking another trainee under his or her arm and investing in that one trainee in the hopes that that trainee will then pass the baton on to another trainee. You will have growth through that kind of addition. But the Bible speaks of multiplication. The Bible speaks of exponential growth, and that's why Paul uses the word men here, not just a man, not just a single woman, not just a single teenager, but commit or invest and entrust this truth to other men. What would it be like if you started praying seriously today about two or three people that God placed on your heart, and you wanted to find some kind of way that you could meet with them on a regular basis and pass on the baton of truth to them in hopes that those two or three people that you're mentoring and that you're discipling would do the same thing and pass it on to two or three other people, each one of those two or three people? Well, that would be exponential growth. And that's the idea of what Paul is talking about here. And look again at that word entrust, or it might be the word commit, in your copy of God's Word. Isn't it so interesting that we've seen that same word already twice in chapter 1? I pointed this out to you last week in verse 12. It's the first time we see that word entrust or commit. In verse 12, the last phrase actually, Paul said, "For I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted." There's that word that Paul uses in 2 Timothy verse 2, or it might be the word committed, that I have committed or entrusted to him until that day. You remember what Paul was talking about there when he used that word entrust? He is saying, listen, I believe and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my soul, which has been entrusted to the safe care of God's keeping, it's been committed to the safe care of God's keeping, He is going to keep and He's going to secure. That's why we have eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first time He uses the word entrust or commit, is to show God's responsibility of keeping what has been entrusted to Him, namely my soul and your soul if you're a believer. But look at the second time He uses that word entrust in verse 14 of chapter 1. He says in chapter 1, verse 14, that good thing, or it might be the word deposit or treasure in your copy of God's Word. Remember we talked about that last week? That good thing, deposit or treasure, which was entrusted, or there's this word, committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. You see, it's a different idea of the use of the word entrust here, because when he used it in verse 12, he's talking about God's responsibility to keep me because my soul's been entrusted to Him. But now he says in verse 14, listen, I have deposited treasure into your life. I've taught you everything I know about the Bible. I've taught you everything I know about Jesus. I have entrusted it to you, and now I want you to hold on to it. I want you to keep it. That's your responsibility as you run this race. And using the imagery of the baton, how many times have you watched a relay race when the runner is running with all their diligence, with all their might, with all their speed, and then all of a sudden they lose their grip on their baton, especially in the exchange, and the baton falls? The runner didn't have the kind of grip he or she ought to have had on it. And that's the idea of what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Man, have a firm grip. Hold on to what I have entrusted into your life. But it doesn't end there. Because there comes a time that that truth and that treasure and that deposit that you are holding on to needs to be passed on to a succeeding generation, to another group of people who need to be discipled by you. And so that's where the idea comes in now for this third lap. Again, reading verse 2 to see these four generations, or these four legs of this race, these four laps of this race, and the things that you, Timothy, his trainee, have heard from me, the Apostle Paul, who's already run the first lap of the race. He's now passed it on to Timothy to run the second leg. He says, commit or entrust these to faithful men. They're running the third lap in this process of discipleship, but the race doesn't end there. Read the rest of verse 2. Speaking of these faithful men who are now running the third leg in this race, he says, who will be able to teach others also. Interesting thing about these nameless others here in the last part of verse 2. If you looked at that word in the original language of the Bible, it is defined this way: another group different from the previous one mentioned, namely faithful men. These nameless others are not necessarily faithful right now, indicating that they might not even be believers now. They might not even be saved now. But as you go through the discipleship process, you're going to engage these kind of people, and you're going to invest and entrust gospel truth into them. And they're going to respond in faith. And in doing so, you'll be passing on the baton to them. You know, there's some third and fourth, maybe fifth and sixth, maybe 100th generation Christians sitting in this building today. You can trace your discipleship lineage going back to a grandmother who passed on her baton of faith into your parent, who then passed on the baton of faith to you. Or maybe it was a youth minister who passed on the baton of truth to you. Or maybe it was a pastor, or maybe a Sunday school teacher, or maybe just a friend, someone you worked with, someone you went to school with. They passed on the baton, and that baton was passed on to them by someone else. Isn't it wonderful to see that we are living in a chain and that we are living links in that chain, and we don't want that chain to stop with us. We don't want it to become extinct with us. We have a responsibility to pass that truth baton on to a succeeding generation. And this nameless group of others here who might not even be saved, that Paul is visualizing as he speaks to Timothy, might be speaking about some of you that are sitting in this building today. Oh, we have guests every week. And some of them have never, ever received the gospel baton of truth. And you might be one of these others here today. And I've got the baton in my hand. And I want to pass it on to you so that you can respond in faith to the glorious message that Jesus saves. But not just keep it to yourself. Man, get in a Sunday school class here, where we have committed Bible teachers who will invest and entrust what they know about God and the Bible to your life in the hopes that you might become a part of this living chain, being a living link in that chain, and that you will pass on the baton to someone else. That's exciting to me, to know that you might be one of those others sitting in this building today. That you would say, "Preacher, I don't have a baton. No one's given me the truth." Well, you can receive it right here today. And you can start running with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we pray about it as we bow before the Lord? Oh, dear God, I just want to thank you today for your truth. I thank you for how that truth was invested in me by my mother, how she passed the baton on to me, and for the joy of being able to also pass that baton on to other people in hopes that they will too pass that baton on, so that your glorious gospel message will continue until you come again. Father, I pray for people sitting in this building today who might be in that other category, who don't have the baton in their hand. I pray that they, by faith, might open their hand and their heart to you and to your truth, and that they would receive you, and that they would start running in this race, learning all they can about you so that they can share it and pass it on to other people. And Father, as you do this here in our midst, we'll give you the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.